Senator Soles, I know that you have to leave, but I want to pivot now to one specific issue that I think is a good example of, an issue that has become a big topic this year and allows us to kind of filter through and hit on some of these issues. It's capital outlay. And that is money that we decide we're going to spend on infrastructure projects. We all complain about roads. I know I do all the time. And we know that they need to be repaved. We see that our bridges are in bad condition. You know, we've just decided to redo the Ferris Engineering Building at UNM, and there was water leaking through the ceiling. This is where that money goes. But it is a very difficult process for regular folks and for journalists to track. It's hard to get people really excited about the topic sometimes. But it is the money that goes to pay for things we see and use and appreciate in our districts all the time. So it is important. You were one of about a dozen TRIP lawmakers.
Both those gentlemen.
Both of these were, and Cisco McSorley, who's outside. Senator O'Neill has not turned over his information yet. So the money that you ask for in capital outlay is a big, long list. You ask for like $800 billion, roughly, right? It's about that number, isn't it? The biggest number you can come with. Yeah, a ton of money in projects. And then at the end, what actually happens is a short list. And that is, we have recently discovered something that, well, we haven't recently discovered this, but that it's secret. It's a secret document. You can't get it. You have to go digging around in order to find this information. New Mexico in Depth and Trip Jennings asked lawmakers to give us this piece of paper that shows where the money actually went, which projects got how much money. Senator Soles, you gave us your list. Why did you think that was important?
First, quite frankly, I didn't realize it was a secret list. I would have given it to you anyhow as far as my particular money. And for other people, you know, they've got to make their own choices. I guess my initial comments were, well, of course you can have where I spent the money. I mean, why would I not give that to you? And I wish more people cared where the money was actually spent. Some people have indicated that they're concerned that people will come lobbying for a particular project or a different one. And I still was, isn't
that anyway.
What they're supposed to be doing is trying to influence me with their ideas about what happens. And so I was very open about doing that. It was a few weeks later that I learned that most of my colleagues didn't do that and were very concerned about that process. I continue to, it's almost like, I wish more people would ask, here, take almost anything that I have. Certainly there are a few things when we're still negotiating important bills where there's some private kinds of things until things become more open. I wish more people cared where we were spending the money and how we were doing it. And so,
and
by all means,
you're alluding to sort of an executive privilege thing that allows you to craft a bill before it becomes public.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we work with some lawyers there that are essentially sworn to secrecy until the bill's ready to be dropped, because there's a lot of negotiating that's going on trying to get good legislation. This isn't that. This was after the fact. The money's been spent, and I'd be happy. Here are all the projects. Here's everybody who's requested money. Here's how much I've got, and I go through and try and make the best choices for the people in my district.
Senator Soles, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. We have a couple other guests that we are going to replace you with once and let you get to your other event. Thank you very much for
coming. Thank you very much. I appreciate being here. And open government is incredibly important in our state.
Thank you. Sure. I just saw Senator McSorley pop his head in and then pop it back out. We do want to talk to him, but in the meantime, Senator O'Neill, will you come and talk to us for a minute?
Sure.
Yes. And take his place. Okay. And we are going to, Vicki, rotate you out with Christina Fisher from Think New Mexico, because we're going to talk a little bit more about this subject of infrastructure funding. The way that capital outlay allocations are made each year has come under a lot of scrutiny. New Mexico in Depth's been doing a lot of reporting on it. We have a data journalist at NMID who's been crunching numbers and has run into some roadblocks that we've been talking about in trying to help the public understand why the projects that they want done in their districts aren't getting done. And critics say the system makes it hard to finish these big projects because they cost a lot of money to build a water system or to build the flyover at Paseo and I-25 that I admit I was very critical of when I lived downtown, and now that I live on the west side, I really like. So, yeah, I'm now yay Paseo, but when I lived downtown, I was like, who cares, right? But that Paseo interchange, which got some capital outlay funding, has dramatically changed the way I drive. And there are lots of people in New Mexico who want to see those kinds of changes. But because the system is broken, Christina Fisher from Think New Mexico will say, the money gets divvied up and carved up into smaller pieces and sent out to all these different projects. And the things that communities need, like water treatment plants and school university buildings, not public school buildings, dams and courthouses and things like that, are getting more difficult to complete. Many of you have seen and heard about the Mora Courthouse, which is boarded up because it can't be finished. And the Cabresto Dam, which we hear about a lot, which is leaking. And I think, was it Senator Cisneros? He said, it's a really pretty dam. It just doesn't hold water. So, you know, folks who like the system the way it is say, and I know that Senator McSorley will tell us, it allows them to achieve quick and easy success in their district and to make a very personal and close connection. Your school needs books, here are books. Your community center needs fiber optic cable, I am making that happen for you. And it's very satisfying to have the kind of connection we're talking about and to see this change happen. But Christina, Think New Mexico has taken on capital outlay as your topic of the year. For those who are here with us and those who are watching at home, tell us just briefly, give us your elevator speech about Think New Mexico. Who are you?
Well, thanks for having me here, Gwyneth.
Well, thank you.
So Think New Mexico is an independent, results-oriented think tank serving New Mexicans. And we differ from most think tanks in two ways. First is that most think tanks have an ideological bias, either to the left or the right. And we believe that in a state with so many problems that's ranked 49th or 50th in so many national categories, we need to focus on solutions rather than ideology. So all of our work is nonpartisan. We have a board of directors that includes Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and all of the bills that we push for are bipartisan sponsored. The other way in which we're different is we don't just come up with good ideas and put out a white paper and hope that something good happens. We actively advocate to get those solutions enacted.
So you pester these guys, is what you're
saying. We do. We bother them a lot.
So you have some ideas about how to change capital outlay, and we want to hear about those in a minute. But let's talk more about the way that it works now. New Mexico In Depth, in its reporting, has found weaknesses in the capital outlay system. Once New Mexico authorizes the money, there isn't enough oversight to make sure that the money is spent efficiently and in a timely manner. We talked about this with Representative Jason Harper, who represents Rio Rancho. That aired last week on New Mexico PBS, and he told us he's really trying to finish Paseo del Volcan, which serves his district. And he can't get enough capital outlay money together to finish this road. It is controversial, but he can't get the money to finish it because he says there's all these efficiencies in the system. Is this a problem that you see with the capital outlay system, that the money is not overseen well enough and that it's not spent and put out there efficiently enough?
Well, there's really no vetting of the process. You know, and I think that's one thing to think New Mexico is looking at. They have a very structured matrix that would be looked at. You know, the other thing I want to point out about the capital outlay, too, and there's a difference between rural and urban needs. You know, I represent an urban area. I have more people in my district than any other Senate district in the state. But geographically, I can drive from one end to the other in 15 minutes. And being that I'm in Albuquerque, my constituents don't expect or rely on me to necessarily bring capital outlay in to build the roads and the things that we need done, because Albuquerque has a different kind of a tax base. We can bond, we can do all kinds of things. A lot of my capital outlay money, and it's on record now, goes towards Little League field improvements, senior centers, the libraries need new blinds, they need new furniture at the library at the school. But the folks in the in many times in the rural areas, they rely on that capital outlay. That's it. I mean, if they're going to get something built, community centers and such, if they don't get it through that capital outlay, they're not going to get it. And we'll get back to this. But, you know, one really interesting model that we might look at when it comes to this developing a matrix, we did this with the public schools several years ago. And we created the Public School Capital Outlay Council. And what we did is there was a Zuni lawsuit that said we were not equally spending money throughout the various school districts in the state, and we had buildings that were falling down and others that were brand new. So what happened is this, they created a matrix that looked at all of the needs, and they had a way of ranking and scoring those. And I sit on that oversight committee. So at any given time, based on where they fall in the matrix, we can see which schools or whatever needs, you know, the roof's ready to fall in. And then they resolve those issues, and then, you know, you move up in the queue, you move down, things change, shift. Sometimes the local communities can come up with some of the money. The state can match it, and that affects their ranking. But that is something that is working very, very well. And this gets to what I think New Mexico is going to look at. There are some issues there to the extent that legislators lose, you know, some control over this. And hopefully we can find some middle ground. But I think that it's important to note that it's not – there are differences in throughout the state, the frontier areas, urban areas, and we have to be careful to address those needs.
Senator O'Neill, you represent a chunk of the North Valley, and then you go a little bit east.
Basically the North Valley.
Basically, they've redistricted,
yes,
and you've got a new district.
Totally new from what I had in the House.
So how have you spent your capital outlay?
Well,
money?
First of all, I would like to say – you know, I take pride in my capital outlay, and I do a lot of emails after the session, and I brag about, I mean, I pretty much say, and I'm a lot like Senator Sewell's, is I didn't know that it was off limits. But I, honestly, with that, I mean, I'm more than willing to share my capital outlay. I just didn't feel that I was, you know, I really respect the good work that Tripp does, but I wasn't asked. I got this random email, and the next thing I know, like, 2 weeks later, I'm being accused of withholding vital information, you know. And so at that point, it was like, I'm Irish. I'm sorry. You know, okay. No, but I mean.
And we'll call you next time.
That's fine.
We'll ask you out to tea.
But also, this is really an important dialogue, and I appreciate all of this, the work that Think New Mexico does. However, I do beg to differ in a significant way. The first thing most of us will say is, who knows better than us what our needs are in the district? I mean, if you're doing your job, which, you know, most of the people I know are really clued into their district, you know what the needs are. And it's what I don't like is the notion of some outside entity coming in and telling me, like, what the needs are. However, what Senator Rude just said makes a lot of sense. I mean, we need to work in a smarter way. It's a really odd process. I mean, right now,
it is a really odd process.
We have $17 million in requests on my secretary's desk.
Yeah.
And we still have several days to go before the deadline. Okay? So it's there's plenty of room for improvement. I mean, these requests come in, and we'll probably have about $20 million, and we'll be lucky to have, say, with the economy the way it is, like $700,000 in this.
I mean, you're going to have to say no to a lot of people.
Right. But I also want to say I have a renewed appreciation for the importance of capital outlay, given what happened last session where we ended without capital outlay. And I would drive around my district and see the school that needed a, you know, new playground, and it just made me sick.
Because with the amount of money we spent to have a special session, you could have built a whole new field.
Right. But happily, we came together as the better angels of our nature asserted themselves, and we came together in a bipartisan way, and we came up with a capital outlay. But it is economic development, and it is important, and it is something that I think it's just about the most tangible thing I do as a legislator. I mean,
This is a powerful force to change. And, you know, I ran into in the hall today former Senator Tim Jennings, who served for 34 years in the Senate. And I said, oh, hey. And he was like, oh, no, you're done with me. I said, oh, no, I'm not done with you. And I said, I want to talk about capital outlay. And he, many, many people share the opinion you just shared, Senator. I want to make it clear that that's probably the majority opinion in the legislature right now, which is, I know what my district needs, and this money is for me to make a difference in my district. And, you know, Jennings made this very passionate argument that if he didn't spend that money in Roswell, it never would have gotten anything because Albuquerque. Right?
The Emerald City on the Hill.
Because of Albuquerque was taking all of the money and they were always going to get all the pretty things. And Santa Fe, he said, we would never, why does Santa Fe have all the museums? We should have had this stuff down in Roswell. And the only way he gets to do it is by spending that money. So it is an incredibly powerful, forward-moving system. And removing that power not only from the legislature but from the executive is a problem.
Well, and let me just give you an example that kind of brings this to bear. There's capital outlay that deals with the larger projects. And we have discretionary capital outlay for folks out there who don't know what we're talking about. Each session, if there's enough money, each legislator is allowed a certain amount of money to spend. Last year, I think the senators got $1 million and the House guys got about $700,000. So here's the thing. You can go to the state legislative website. You can click on Senator Rue or Senator O'Neill, and there's a tab where you can click on capital outlay request. So those are the applications for capital outlay. People come into our office and say, look, we need, you know, $300,000 for police cars. Will you sign this? We'll sign them. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of folks go to a lot of trouble to get up there to do this. And so we'll sign off on them. And you can look on that tab. I signed off last year for $19 million worth of capital outlay requests. Then we find out that we have $1 million. So then I sit down, and we all sit there on the floor, and we've got our calculators out. We're going to figure out who's going to get how much. I had people for years asking me, well, can I, you know, I'd like to know how you spent that. I said, well, you can look it up as easy as I can. Go online. I looked for it, and I couldn't find it. And I thought, well, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. You cannot find that list. It's one page, in my case, and it just lists who got what. And I have a bill, Senate Bill 48, this year that will require that to be available to the public after the fact. Now, there's still the issue of whether those things should be vetted, you know, as we're doing the process. I get that. That's a separate issue. But start with that list being available. It's not. I have to authorize the Legislative Counsel Services to release that to you, and they will if I tell them to do it. And that's amazing to me, and it's amazing to me that there are some folks that will chafe at that and have some issues with it. And it'll require us to explain some things. Well, why did I give money to a countywide bus system for something? Well, that county service serves my constituents.
But you already have to explain some of that, don't you?
How would somebody know? Let's say that they got some money for the buses and I signed off that I would. They will assume that I gave them some of that money if more than one legislator did. They have no way knowing whether I did or not. And they should be able to come back to me and said, look, you gave it to this, but you didn't give it to that. Why shouldn't I have to explain that? It may be unpleasant, but, you know, there's going to be winners and losers in this. I should be required or expected to explain that. Right now, I can bury that and you'll never find it.